From the 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com newsroom, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. It's 74 degrees in Holland at 1205. I'm Gary Stevens. This news is brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. It's another banner day weather-wise along the lakeshore, and the winning streak will continue through the end of the week. A look at Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com. Following this news, the Ottawa County Prosecutor's Office is reviewing evidence gathered by Holland Public Safety investigators before filing attempted murder charges after an incident at a West 18th Street group home yesterday afternoon. Officers responded to a domestic violence report and treated a 46-year-old woman who came to the door with multiple head injuries suffered over an hour's period of time. That woman was taken to Spectrum Zealand Community Hospital for treatment. A 41-year-old woman who was a housemate but allegedly had issues with the victim was spotted at a nearby park, taken into custody, and awaits arraignment. No identities have been disclosed. It was a terrible start to the new school year at Central Michigan University. And no, it wasn't involving the football game in Ann Arbor last Saturday. Something far more serious, as a senior from Holland was found dead in her apartment at West Campus Village. That's off-campus living in Mount Pleasant.
Roommates found 22-year-old Kelly Marquetos unresponsive in her bed at about 9:30 Tuesday morning. It appears she died in her sleep. Her father, John Marquetos, says she didn't have any known medical problems.
She had a heart of gold, and we always told her she was going to grow up broke because she just gave everything away. She was just a very, very loving girl, big heart.
Police do not suspect foul play, but have ordered an autopsy and a toxicology screen to try and pin down a cause of death. Marquetos was a public relations major who volunteered with Habitat for Humanity. The university says it's providing grief counselors to her family and friends. Jim Whelan, WHTC News.
Results from toxicology tests are still pending, but Allegan County Sheriff's investigators say that 48-year-old Robert Gilmore died of natural causes. The homeless man stumbled into a 54th Street property just north of the Allegan-Van Buren County line in Lee Township last Saturday afternoon and collapsed. He died at the scene. It took a tip after authorities disclosed a description of the 5'11", 300-pound-plus heavily tattooed man before they could determine Gilmore's identity. But deputies are still wondering how he arrived at the property and his connection to the area. Calls to the Sheriff's Department or Allegan County Silent Observer are welcome. All hands were on deck, or rather, the classroom along the lake shore today. After staging open houses at all of its buildings yesterday, Holland Public Schools welcomed students, teachers, and staff this morning for the start of classes in the 2014 academic year. The extra day of summer vacation was needed to not only get pupils, their parents, and community members up to speed on some program changes, but in the case of Holland High School, Superintendent Brian Davis and district officials went over some ongoing renovations to the campus.
If you've driven down Van Ralty Avenue recently, and you were a Holland High alumnus, or you are a community member who was very familiar with the Holland High School campus, it looks noticeably different now than what it did even in June. And so we're really excited to welcome individuals back. That construction project is going to continue through December. And so we will still have some construction going on while school is in session, but we have plans to be able to navigate, and we're going to be just fine.
The other public districts along the lakeshore commenced its lessons yesterday, while some private schools in both Hobb College and GVSU started last week. The next target date for public educators is October 2nd, when the first student count for state funding purposes is taken. Now that school is back in session, lawmakers will again be discussing the possible implementation of Common Core education standards in Michigan.
Common Core would set standards for each school district to craft its own curriculum within certain boundaries. Martin Ackley with the Michigan Department of Education says he thinks lawmakers opposed to the idea might be misinformed.
So they put a provision in the state budget for this coming year that said that the Department of Education cannot spend money to implement the Common Core. The House of Representatives has had meetings over the summer to get pro and con about the Common Core, and we think that we've been pretty successful in explaining the benefits of it, not only for Michigan's children, but for schools and teachers as well.
He says implementing the standards would ensure that one district's curriculum is largely the same as in another district's in the state, providing an easier transition if a student has to move from one school to another.
Sam Harold, WHTC News.
Governor Snyder's Medicaid expansion plan is now headed to his desk. The State House concurred with the changes made by the Senate yesterday, but lawmakers were unable to give it an immediate effect, meaning it's not going to become law until March 2014 at the earliest. Governor Snyder now sets off on a trade mission to Asia tomorrow.
He'll be in China on Thursday, going to a couple of cities before heading off to Japan for the weekend. The governor says that on this trip will be representatives of some key Michigan industries.
Essentially, there's the official delegation that I'll be doing a number of business, political meetings, a wide variety of meetings. But we'll also have a track with over 20 companies coming along that will be interacting with us. We're going to have a Pure Michigan track with people from Pure Michigan promoting tourism, and then we're going to have an agriculture track.
Snyder can't speculate how many new jobs will be coming to Michigan as a result of this trip, but notes that his last trip to Asia did lead to some investment here. Andrew Green reporting.
Is Governor Snyder in trouble politically after the healthy Michigan debate? A recent poll by iCaucus of likely Republican Party convention delegates indicates that former Lake Shore legislator Dave Ajima and current Attorney General Bill Schuette would prevail over the one tough nerd in vying for the GOP gubernatorial nomination next year. Former state party chair Saul Anousis, who may have an axe to grind with Ajima, as he lost to Ajima for the Republican National Committee man post in Michigan last year, says those survey results should be taken with a grain of salt.
Our current delegate list is kind of dominated by a lot of Tea Party folks who are obviously upset with the governor over the Medicaid expansion. There's a lot of Ron Paul people in there who've been recruited here lately. So it's probably a little more conservative than the general kind of electorate on the Republican side statewide.
He also downplays a possible challenge in 14 months by Democrat Mark Schauer.
When you do a contrast between where Mark Schauer stands on issues and where Rick Snyder is going to be on issues, Governor Snyder will end up being a much more popular governor with respect to, you know, both his positions, where he stands politically, his approach to state government, and I think in the end he'll be reelected.
Mr. Snyder hasn't formally announced yet whether he would seek a second and final term. They're known more along the lakeshore for hosting candidate forums, but there's more to them than that.
The Holland Area League of Women Voters has been recognized by the national group for growth in membership and continued commitment to the community and the mission of the LWV. Publicity Chair Marilyn Schmidt says that there will be a guest speaker at their fall kickoff event next week.
Fall kickoff is typically when we try to recruit new members, so all of our current members are invited to bring a guest, and anybody in the public who's interested is also very welcome to attend. And it's going to just be a bit of a social hour first, and then we're going to hear Patty Buchholz talk about her background in politics.
The event takes place at the Holland Area Arts Council on 8th Street in Holland on September 9th from 5:30 until 7 p.m. All current members are invited, plus anyone who might be interested in learning more about the LWV. Diane Costin, WHTC News.
Compared to the last few weeks when there was a variety of high-profile issues to be decided upon, this evening's Holland City Council meeting may be considered tame. The only matter that does require a public hearing and a vote is an ordinance amendment that would allow some size flexibility when it comes to outdoor signage in the Central Business District. Council members will huddle beforehand behind closed doors with the board of the Holland BPW to discuss an legal opinion and to go over ongoing collective bargaining negotiations with unionized employees of the municipal utility. Bob Vandevussie may be generally known as representing the 4th Ward and being the mayor pro tempore of the Holland City Council. But beginning next month, he'll be adding the responsibility of directing the operations at Zeeland's Howard Miller Library and Community Center. A veteran librarian with experience at both Holland Christian Schools and in Fenville, Vandevussie beat out four of the candidates during the appointment by the Zeeland City Council last night. He replaces Dennis Martin, who had stepped down after a decade at the Howard Miller Library post. Vandevussie will still be a Holland City Council member. As Capitol Hill debates whether to agree with the president over limited military airstrikes on Syria, one of the Lakeshore's congressmen has his doubts. Bill Heisinger continues to believe that the U.S. just can't go it alone on this.
I'm afraid that without the Arab League and without Arab participation, this is going to be portrayed as a Western invasion of an Arab country, and that's problematic, obviously.
If the Zealand Republican was asked today to vote on the matter, he would probably say no.
You're not going to have broad-based and Arab-based opposition to this who are willing to go in and do regime change. Ultimately, what really is the deterrent?
Heisinger did credit Mr. Obama for not unilaterally undertaking military action and for bringing the issue to Congress. Speaking of Congress, they are debating whether to allow U.S. airstrikes in Syria. The Fed is considering ending its quantitative easing program. Political gridlock may lead to another budget crisis in Washington. Well, to investment advisor Kevin Clark of the Holland office of Raymond James, this may not be the best time right now. to be dipping those financial toes into the Wall Street waters.
You look at the litany of uncertainties that are sitting there facing investors. This may not be a month that investors are hit hard in the markets, but rather it may be a market that just has to move sideways until some of these issues clear up.
So far, our markets are relatively flat despite all of this uncertainty. It's the rubber game of the series between the Tigers and Red Sox in Boston this evening. Detroit took the opener on Monday 3-0, but the Sox came back and beat 19-game winner Max Scherzer last night 2-1.
I thought as a whole, I thought I pitched pretty well. I thought I had good stuff and made a little mechanical adjustment to get back right. And I felt free and easy tonight. So as frustrating as it is to lose a game and to make a mistake, I'm just going to choose to look at the positives.
The mistake was a two-run single by Will Middlebrooks in the fifth inning that accounted for all of Boston's scoring. Rick Porcello gets the start tonight for the Tigers against former Chicago Cub Ryan Dempster of the Red Sox. Coverage with Dan Dickerson and Jim Price from Fenway Park begins at 6:45 this evening on 1450 WHTC. Speaking of the Cubs, the friendly confines have been anything but friendly to the Bruins, as last night's 6-2 loss to visiting Miami was the sixth in the last nine games for Chicago overall. Jeff Samardzija, the former Notre Dame football star, is on the mound this afternoon as the Cubs look to avoid being swept out of Wrigley Field by the Fighting Fish. Two bad innings have sunk the White Sox in New York so far this week. The Yankees scored 8 runs in the fourth inning of Monday's 9-1 victory and tallied 5 in the eighth last night to rally past Robin Ventura and the Pale Hose 6-4.
It's a tough place to play. It always has been, even if you're over on the other stadium. Once it starts going and the crowd gets into it, the team feeds off it, and it's happened for years. So it's hard to slow that down and be able to make pitches and get the stuff that you need. It's a tough place.
The Sox hope that Eric Johnson can stop the bleeding from a 5-game Chicago losing streak and at least salvage one game in Yankee Stadium this evening. The NFL season begins tomorrow night with a playoff rematch as Eric Decker and the Broncos welcome Baltimore to Denver.
Well, I think we're just excited to start the season off. We had a good training camp, good offseason in general, and to be able to play the defending world champs week one is an opportunity for us to see where we are as a team to this point. So we're excited to have them come here and play them.
Hear the game on 1450 WHTC tomorrow night starting at 8 p.m. This news has been brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. Check them out online at yourhometownagency.com. Have a good day, everyone. I'm Gary Stevens for 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.
And let's check out the weather this afternoon here on WHTC. WHTC's hometown forecast brought to you by Hop In of Fenville. Hop in for scrumptious pizzas and delectable desserts. Hop in on East Main in Fenville. For this afternoon, mostly sunny skies, high near 80. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 54. And tomorrow, abundant sunshine. And the high of 77. Friday, a few clouds. And a high of 81. And real warm over the weekend, highs in the mid-80s. Get the 7-day forecast and radar updates by texting STORM to 80373.